Good evening, Robert. Welcome to the Space Show.
Oh, good evening. It's great to be here.
The NASA's had quite a long history of exploring Mars, and is in the process at the moment has the Mars Global Surveyor in orbit around Mars. But you're planning further missions. Could you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. We had the Mars Pathfinder mission that started out by getting to Mars on July 4th of past year, and Mars Global Surveyor, as you mentioned, is currently there. We have two missions that are being launched this year in December and January. We're going to send a lander and an orbiter to Mars, and then I'm actually working on missions that are going to be launched in the year 2001 when we send another orbiter and another lander to Mars. They will launch in January or February of 2001 and get there about 9 months later.
What launch vehicle will you use?
Oh, for those, we'll use the Delta 7925, and we'll launch out of the Cape Canaveral there in Florida.
And how long will it take you to get to Mars?
Oh, it'll take about 9 months for each of those missions.
So it's a low-velocity sort of trip?
Yes, it's a low-velocity trip. It's a little bit slower than Pathfinder, about the same as Mars Global Surveyor. We'll be entering the atmosphere at about 6.5 kilometers per second, which is about a kilometer per second slower than Pathfinder. We use an aeroshell, just like the Mars Pathfinder and like the 98 lander we'll use, to slow us down with aerodynamic drag to about 500 meters per second when a parachute is deployed, and then we'll use that parachute to come down softly on the ground with some retropropulsion to do a nice soft landing. No airbags like we had on Mars Pathfinder, but a rocket touchdown like on the 98 lander that's soon to be launched.
So how different is all this from what happened on Viking and Pathfinder?
Oh, well, one of the major differences on 01, on the 2001 lander, is that we are taking not only scientific experiments to Mars, but we're also taking experiments to characterize the surface for future human missions. That's one major difference. The other is that we are testing out technology to do precision landing on Mars, which will be a first. Pathfinder landed in a very large ellipse. It could have hit anywhere in a 300 by 50 kilometer zone, and our goal for 2001 is to hit within about a 10 kilometer circle. To do that, we have to fly with some lift and an active guidance system, and that's the major new development on the 2001 lander. There have been many guidance systems like this developed here at Earth, but this will be the first flight of one at Mars, and the guidance system controls the vehicle. It can fly left or right or up and down as it descends through the atmosphere and aims right for the target. That's the major engineering difference.
So that'll be an autonomous control system, because obviously you couldn't do that in real time from Earth, could you? Why not?
Right. It's controlled autonomously by an onboard computer, and it has sensors to measure deceleration and to figure out the orientation of the spacecraft. It has to be done autonomously because of the one-way transfer time to and from Mars is about, I think for our opportunity, it's about 12 minutes one way. So, and the whole flight is only through the atmosphere is only about 5 minutes. So we couldn't give it a command and then, you know, take 12 minutes. It would already be on the ground.
The Martian atmosphere, of course, is a lot thinner than the Earth, isn't it?
Yes, it's anywhere from a 1/10 to 1/100th as thin as here on Earth, but still, it's thick enough that you can actually do some maneuvers as you're descending through the atmosphere, and we have enough control authority to hit our target. We've done a lot of simulations, and in those simulations, we hit within about 5 kilometers of our target, greater than 99% of the time. So, at this point, you know, we're just getting into building the spacecraft for 2001, but the design work that we've done all looks very promising.
At some of the other sessions that we've been to, I've been talking about unmanned trips that we go to Mars, process fuel and everything like that, in preparation for a future landing that could then pick up that fuel. Alternatively, we've heard of missions that would go to Mars, rovers, rove around the surface, collect a set of rocks, put them back in one place, and then there'd be landers that go down and pick them up and then bring them back to Earth. To do that, obviously, you'd have to have very, very precise landings. Is your technology going to be applicable in that sort of situation?
Yeah, very much so. Our technology is really the first step towards that end. Whether you're doing whether you're trying to put a rover down in a very precise location or whether you're trying to rendezvous with another ship that's there to get supplies, propellant, something like that, you have to be able to do pinpoint landing. And what we're doing is the first step. We're going to have control down to the parachute deployment point. Beyond that, there are other things that you would like to do. You'd like to have a parachute that is steerable, like we have here on Earth. Many people have probably used those type of chutes. You'd like to have a guidance system on board that during that final terminal descent, when you're doing the soft touchdown, that you can maneuver a little bit right or left. And we're not going to be demonstrating any of those technologies on the 2001 mission. We're just demonstrating the guided flight down until parachute deployment at about 500 meters per second. So what we're doing is a first step towards those futuristic missions.
Once you're down there, or first of all, have you decided where you're going to land yet?
Not exactly. We have a band around Mars going anywhere from 15 degree north latitude to 15 degree south latitude, and we hope to land in that region. By the way, that region contains some of the most striking features of Mars, including the Olympus Mons volcanic range, Valles Marineris, the Great Canyon system of Mars. Depending on what the scientists actually select, we could be the pictures that come back could be much more breathtaking than those that we receive from Pathfinder.
And when the Vikings landed there, they operated for a couple of years on the surface. And then, of course, we had Pathfinder, which lasted about a month or so. How long will your lander land? How long will it last?
Yeah, actually, Pathfinder was designed to last a month, and it lasted 3 to 4. Ours is being designed to nominally to last 3 months, about 90 days. But there's hope that it will last even longer than that.
And what will the payload be? In other words, what are you going to do once you get down to the surface?
Right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have two types of payloads. We have the space science payloads, things like another rover, a Sojourner-class rover, to go about the surface, a soil scooper, a shovel basically on a robotic arm, and a thermal emission spectrometer that will look at that soil and do chemical decomposition of that. And then we have a whole range of payloads designed to characterize our landing site for future human missions. These include some radiation monitors. Humans need to know the radiation intensity there on Mars. Also a soil and dust analyzer. We need to understand the soil and how that could be used to shield us from radiation, and the dust that blows about the surface of Mars quite vigorously before we send people there to Mars. We'll also have, I should have mentioned, a panoramic camera, much like on Pathfinder, with stereo imaging, so we can get 360-degree 3D-type pictures.
Thank you for joining us tonight on The Space Show.
Thanks. A pleasure to be here.